Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast. This episode, we talk overclocking ROI on the 9000 series processors and the latest on high-end extreme memory. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McKay. Darren, the last couple of podcasts, we brought up the Core i9-9900K. It was a processor that I overclocked at Hackfort. We got a couple of cups under LN2, and I tried it out at the Boise LAN the week before, and that was the first time I'd ever run that processor.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
During that time, you know, it was exploratory, so I was checking to see what voltages it would run at, what temperatures it liked, and mostly with the cold bug, because I didn't want to feed any extra voltage into it. And I spent a lot of time tweaking the memory controller, what works for hyperthreading and whatnot. And the end result was really a 6.1 gigahertz stable, and that was 3D stable.
But we did get a couple of cups.
So
that seems good.
One of them was in front of a crowd. You'll have to go back to listen to that previous episode to get the full flavor and my excitement for getting that.
So a solid performance?
At Boise LAN, I kind of felt that the processor was junky.
But we got some cups.
We did get cups, but we could have got more.
Oh, okay.
So I brought the processor home, and I was testing one of the new motherboards from Asus, the Maximus, what is it, 11 Apex. I think it's the 11 Apex.
Well, that's kind of a mouthful.
Yeah, it's the Z390 version of the Apex, basically.
Oh, is this their new Halo board?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
It's freaking awesome. So I decided that I was going to use the Core i9-9900K on it instead of my Core i7-8700K.
Okay.
Now, the difference between those two is one of them is the new Coffee Lake and the other one is the old Coffee Lake. One has 6 cores, the other one has 8 cores.
Well, that sounds like it'd make a difference.
It should make a lot of difference. So I ran through the review. It did really quite well. Obviously, it was a little bit faster because, you know, it has a couple extra cores.
All right. Now slow down because you haven't really shared the whole build and we got to share the whole build.
Oh, okay, fine. So we have the Apex motherboard.
Yes.
Core i9-9900K processor.
Beautiful.
I'm using a 240 all-in-one cooler that was an Asetek branded by Thermaltake.
That's interesting, but okay.
Yeah, it's got a couple of fans on it. It's really cool. The idea is that I didn't want the cooler to limit any sort of performance.
But we didn't do the phase.
No phase on this one yet.
No water.
Well, it's an all-in-one, so it is water.
I guess sort of water. Okay, I gotcha.
In all of the reviews, I use a GTX 980 Ti from EVGA. And that's the video card that I've been using for ever since that 980 Ti came out.
So cutting edge. Why not use a 2080 or something newer?
Primarily so that I can make the scores consistent. So when I'm reviewing a motherboard, I can say, well, the video card is the same all the way through with all these tests.
Okay, that's fair.
And on top of that, the video card has been factored out of a lot of the motherboard review benchmarks. It's going to leverage heavily on the video card choice.
Well, that makes sense, right? So we're looking primarily about CPU benchmarks.
Yeah, CPU, we want memory interaction, we want Southbridge interaction, so storage subsystem, memory subsystem, and the processor.
So tell me about memory.
Memory, I was using some G-Skill 3466, some old Trident Zs from way back when.
Yeah, still that's pretty fast. And for the storage?
Storage, I was using a Crucial Drive, an MX500.
Well, we like Crucial. All right, so, I think we got the system down, so bring it back in. So you were doing overclocking on a all-in-one water cooler with the
Core i9-9900K.
All right, I lost track of which one was which here. All right, so.
So basically, I was expecting some insane performance, right?
Well, of course.
Yeah, we got 6.1, 6.3 gigahertz under LN2.
That sounds good.
So I was expecting at least 5.2, 5.3.
Oh, you know, because water.
Yeah, because water on air, basically. It did 5.1.
Well, that's not terrible.
It's not terrible, but it's not good. It's actually really bad.
And this is a processor that you've never overclocked before?
Well, it's the one I overclocked under LN2.
Well, yeah, we did good under LN2.
I didn't prove the processor on air beforehand. It went into the system. I sealed it up for LN2 overclocking, and then we went for broke.
Okay. And we did good. We got two cups.
Keep coming back to the cups.
I know, because that seems good, but you keep telling me it's bad, and I'm trying to dial this in.
Okay. Basically, what I'm trying to get here is that we have a Core i9-9900K, top-of-the-line processor. it has two cores that boost up to 5 gigahertz from the factory.
Okay.
And I thought that was a fluke when I first saw it, but it really was kind of a carryover from the anniversary edition Pentium that they released that had two cores that ran at 5 gigahertz and then two cores that ran at 3.8 or something crazy like that.
It's a hell of a deal.
It is. And it works great for surfing the web and checking your email and watching YouTube videos because those are not multi-threaded applications.
Oh, so fast though.
The faster you can get the data into the processor and back out, the more they can handle. And that is where if you have multi-threaded things, you can handle multiple threads coming through and back out.
Oh, I'm starting to have a deja vu AMD anniversary. Yeah, okay, I'm with you.
Stay with me. We're getting to it.
Okay, so we overclocked this thing. We only got a 5.1 on two processors out of two cores out of six, eight. No, I feel like you're confusing me on purpose because we got two cups.
We got two cups. All right, well, we're going to have to let that part go.
Okay.
Got to let that go for a second.
So two cores overclocked beautifully to 5.1.
Actually, two cores overclocked beautifully to 5.4.
That's even better.
Except that as soon as I tried to sync all the cores to 5.4, it immediately crashed.
Okay, so now I need a little bit of help from my veteran overclocker buddy here. So when we overclock, don't they normally shut down the cores and pick just the fastest one or two for these benchmarks? Isn't that kind of part of the process?
That is part of the marketing process to say, hey, our processor runs faster than competition Y.
Oh, okay. I'm starting to catch on now. So that isn't part of the overclocking process. That's part of the advertising process.
Right, exactly. And that is why the Core i9-9900K claims to boost at 5 gigahertz. You assume that it's the entire processor, all eight cores boost to 5 gigahertz, but it's really only two.
So if you're running dual threaded, you're still in pretty good shape, but it seems a little shady to me. So what about the other processor?
Yeah, my Core i7-8700K, that guy would run 4.9, which doesn't sound as impressive, but it is the older Coffee Lake.
Right.
But I can run 4.9 across the entire CPU. So I can run all six cores at 4.9.
So does that mean that some of those cores are faster and we just got a 4.9 average? Is that...
Well, and if I... I could dial it back. So if I do the two fast cores, core one and two, I believe it was 5.1 on just that.
Right.
Or maybe it was only five. It wasn't a lot. It wasn't to the point where I needed to do that to get any extra performance. And that is where 4.9 was the magical number every time I use that processor for overclocking on the motherboard reviews.
So do we get any cups on the old processor?
No, not really.
Sorry, I couldn't leave that behind.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to make sure I'm understanding here. So if you buy this beautiful, what is it, like a $1,200 processor, right?
More like $550, I think.
Oh my gosh. Still expensive.
A lot.
Then you're buying basically two fast cores and the rest are kind of a crapshoot?
Yep.
Is this pretty normal across the board or did we just really get a bad processor?
I'm going to be optimistic and say I got a bad processor. However, I've been doing a bit of research on the Reddits because, you know, Reddit is the great melting pot of idiots that say, hey, I'm trying to overclock and be just like Splave over here, but my processor will only do this. Why?
Oh, Splave. Sorry, dude.
Yeah, I know. So basically, thread after thread after thread saying they have this 9000 series CPU and they can't get past 5.1 gigahertz, and they can't figure out why. And I'm going to say that, well, that's probably the theoretical limit of that CPU. But some other Joe Schmo comes in and say, hey, I got 5.4.
Right.
And people are going, well, why did you get 5.4? Do you have this magical processor? Chances are he's just overclocking two cores.
Oh, right. Because you can lock down the others.
Yep.
So I feel like this is kind of a trend in processors lately because we said similar stuff about the AMD processors, that they are cherry picking their scores based on their highest, well, core.
And it's basically the golden core. That is not a new concept either. Intel's been doing it ever since Sandy Bridge. We would have certain processors that there was one core that would run close to 5.5 gigahertz on air. And that is what the overclockers getting massive scores on SuperPi, on HardwareBot, for instance, just using one core because it wasn't a multi-threaded benchmark, so it didn't benefit from having any of the other cores there. So they just disable those and find the fastest one. That's what they would overclock.
Interesting. Now, I think that's kind of impressive. So if you were playing competition, right, you want to isolate that core. Now, if I were, say, the average Joe, how in the heck would I isolate one core for overclocking? That doesn't even make sense to me. Why would you do that?
If you are in a competition situation where you need to have the fastest core possible, it is a matter of going into the BIOS and going into the advanced CPU features and say, I want this core active, disable all the others.
That's just crazy.
And it is. It is not the way that the Intel had ever intended the processor to be used. And on some of the lower end motherboards, you don't have that option. Well, and in some processors, you don't have the ability to change the multiplier either. But
right,
that's just the way that that particular board and that particular processor are designed. So with the K editions, it's basically unlocked. You can do whatever you want. And it's to the motherboard's benefit, motherboard manufacturer's benefit, sorry, to allow you to use as much of that processor as you can. And one of the key features is basically core binning. You know, we're binning processors. Well, we're also core binning individual cores. It might be core 5 that's the fastest one. And that's not the one that turbos to 5 gigahertz.
Oh, that's just crazy, man. I get that they want to advertise these things differently, but man, that just seems a little bit shady.
It is. And it's annoying for me, being an overclocker. I want to have pretty good performance in my motherboard reviews because, you know, I like to overclock. I like to show that this particular board can do this with this particular hardware if you do this. You know, it's basically you get the recipe right and you should be able to get this all the time. And when I get a processor like this where it's already running at 5 gigahertz, granted on 2 cores, and I'm getting 100 megahertz overclock, that just is not right.
Well, especially with that kind of money being spent.
Yeah. I flip back to the Core i7. That boosts up to, 4.6 or something like that. I can get an extra 300-400 megahertz out of it just by overclocking and syncing all the cores. Based off of the processor itself, I have a higher degree of performance increase using an older edition processor than spending $600 on the latest one and getting an extra 100.
Wow, but that's still a crapshoot because if you can't bin them, get multiples, right?
Right.
I mean, you're honestly kind of at the mercy of just which processor gets shipped to you.
It is. It's a roll of the dice. You know, and a lot of the Reddit guys say, hey, I go to the Silicon Lottery and I'm buying a pre-delidded processor.
I like that term, the Silicon Lottery. That makes sense.
It's actually a legit site. It's pretty weird. But they will do the binning for you and they will go and delid the processor for you and then ship you one that is guaranteed to work at this speed.
Oh, wow.
Unless you put that processor on the same board that they tested it on, saying that it will do this speed at this voltage, there's a chance it's not going to be accurate.
That's very theoretical. All right, so as a competitive overclocker, we got two processors we've talked about. So what have we learned here? I mean, what if you were to buy a processor, like I would buy a processor today, would I go for that crazy monster or would I go for the cheaper? I mean, how would I know which is the faster processor? Because I would naturally assume that the newer, more expensive processor would be faster.
Well, that is a very difficult question to answer because as a competitive overclocker, you always go for the halo product. That's all the points are. That's where all the competition is. And that's also where a lot of the money is. It goes into that whole cost of being an enthusiast, right?
Oh, yeah.
For an average user that might casually overclock, I would say go with the Core i7 edition because you're going to get the same amount of speed and you get the kudos of being able to get a higher overclock because the processor is a little bit down market. I'm not going to say that the cores are any higher quality, but based off of my Core i7 versus Core i9 overclocking adventure, I get a higher performance gain out of the 8700K than I did out of the 9900K.
Oh, is this just a maturity thing, or do we need to wait for a second generation i9, or is this just luck of the draw, really?
I'm going to say it's probably part of the whole new tick, not tick talk
right?
From Intel, right? So we have two generations of Coffee Lake. The second generation added two new cores to it. The architecture is basically the same. So they are doing we have a little headroom. We're going to release another processor, just add a couple cores instead of slicing them off. And then we're going to ship it. By doing that, they've increased the headroom a bit because they already had it built in. And it makes the overclockers that are buying these processors suffer a bit because of that.
I hear you. So really, if you're competitive, there's an advantage in buying. But a normal Joe like me on the street, you're probably okay staying with an i7, it sounds like. Dennis, you know, I have been looking at upgrading my machine because it's been a while and we've had a couple LAN parties and I think I'm due. And so I was kind of out there looking and I had, a little problem with memory because I was multitasking and playing Battlefield earlier this week. So I thought, memory, I've only got 16 gigs of memory.
Uh-huh.
And I have that G-Scale memory. It's pretty fast. It's 3,300, right? But it's not fast enough, Dennis, because I was out looking and I now know that they have some crazy new memory. Now, HyperX, and I think you posted about this, mm-hmm. has some really awesome memory. DDR4 4600 16 gig kit. So I'm thinking maybe I should get two of those because...
Oh, that would be awesome, actually.
That's going to be huge in my machine, right? I mean, how much faster can it be? I don't know, but 4600. It's the new 3000, right?
I think it is the new 3000. However, as I'm going to link this in the show notes because I kind of made fun of this article when I posted it in the news.
But it's crazy fast.
Yeah. So in a way, Paul also made fun of it. Paul is the writer over at PC Gamer who originally reported this.
And we like to talk about PC Gamer. I mean, those guys, I don't know. Yeah. They do a good job. We shouldn't bang them, but...
No. We're not. We're actually kind of helping them along here.
4,600 speed, Dennis. That's ludicrous speed.
Super ludicrous.
It's also a little bit expensive, though.
Yeah. Paul over at PC Gamer had talked about the 16 gig two module kit from HyperX rated at 4,600 megahertz.
Super fast.
Super, super fast. And I think it was at CL19, CAS 19.
All right. That's not terrible.
At 1.5 volts.
That's almost overclocking speed.
Yeah, that's very overclocking speed.
Now, hold on a minute. Wait a minute. Is this just overclocked like 3,300 memory being sold as 4,000?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Now, how much was this again?
They quoted it was like $600.
Holy crap.
Well, and it goes beyond that, too, because we have this memory, and unfortunately, 4,600 will not run at 4,600 in your system.
Okay, so now I've got to start looking at a faster system. So this 4,600, what is it, a new chipset? What runs 4,600?
That's going to be probably the Core i9 99,000 series stuff.
9,000 series stuff. So we just talked about in the previous, the 9600K.
Yeah, the memory controller in that processor is of quality to run this kind of memory. However, it's not supported by Intel.
Wait a minute. How is it not supported by Intel? You just said it was compatible with the 9000 series.
Okay, so when I say compatible or supported by Intel, we are speaking from a pure warranty standpoint. So if you are running this memory and you happen to have a processor that will run that fast and you have a problem with the processor, and then you say, I would like to exercise my warranty with Intel saying I would like a new processor.
How would they even know?
Well, they do a little quiz over the phone with you saying, so what memory did you use?
HyperX, crazy fast memory.
Yeah, and they say, oh, well, our processor only supports up to 2166 or was it 2400 now or something like that.
Oh, I don't like it. I mean, we're talking about a lot of money here. How is this not supported? I mean, I'm already buying a new processor. I'm assuming that if I wanted to run a 9000 series processor, I'm looking at a new motherboard. What chipset am I looking at?
Z390.
Z390, so like a $300 plus probably motherboard to get a decent one.
Yep.
And didn't we just in the previous thing say that was a $1,200 processor?
No, you said it was $1,200 processor.
It totally is.
I said it was a $550 processor.
All right, so I'm out like maybe $900 plus the RAM and the DDR. That's just 16 gigs. It's like $500, right?
This was $610,
I think. Oh my gosh, this is not sounding like it. Okay.
So basically, it's a lot of money. And from the Intel side of things, they have to wrangle it in saying, well, we're only going to warranty up to here, even though our processor will run this fast.
But how do they do that? I mean, if it supports it, why would it void the warranty?
It's because it's not designed to run that fast. And basically what happens to run 4,600 megahertz is that you have to increase the memory multiplier beyond what it's designed to be run at. You're overclocking it to run this overclocked memory.
So this is sort of like a factory overclock.
Uh-huh. And it also is at 1.5 volts. And the official voltage that's supported by Intel is 1.2.
But hold on, they've been doing this with video cards for years, and it hasn't voided warranties. I mean, we got Superclocked and Extreme and Kingpin and all that stuff.
On the video card front, it's warrantied with the manufacturer that released the video card, not with NVIDIA or AMD.
Oh, I'm getting it. So I put in this crazy fast memory Goji Skill, and it whacks my CPU somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Not the same.
Not the same.
Oh. So how do they sell this stuff? I mean, this is pretty impressive sound and stuff.
I'm going to say that they sell it based off of the shiny factor.
Well,
I'm going to trademark that, the shiny factor.
Shiny. I think that was from that Disney flick. But it doesn't even have like LEDs on it or anything.
No. And that's probably a good thing because the LEDs, where's the power come from to run the LEDs?
Oh, from the memory bus, yeah.
Yeah, so you got, when you're running memory chips this fast, and HyperX has been known to release some pretty fast memory, but nothing in the overclocker realm. So getting something over 4,000 megahertz out of HyperX is actually quite a feat. And it's because they reserve a lot of their high quality chips for other products like enterprise level stuff.
Sure.
So it takes a special budget to be able to pull some of those chips back so they can release an enthusiast level memory module with this kind of speed.
All right, well, I feel like I'm kind of going spoilers here. I'm looking at your post on it here, and it says that it will only work in properly binned processors on special motherboards. So it's not even compatible. It's not even compatible with all of them.
Right. Well, and that's where there's a chance that this memory could run on just about any sort of a Coffee Lake system. However, I know from experience that memory is very fickle. The memory controller has to support the speed. You have to have the voltage available, and XMP profile is going to change the system. It has to be able to support that. So in some cases, it might increase the base clock, it might increase the memory multiplier, and it might actually increase the CPU multiplier to get the speed fast enough to support this memory.
Okay, so lots of, pressure on the system there. I can see why you want good components. Yeah. All right, so maybe I don't want HyperX memory, but I still want crazy fast memory. Well, what are my options?
Well, there's basically two companies out there that regularly offer memory modules in this kind of a speed range.
All right, what you got?
Well, let's start with Corsair.
Oh, and Corsair makes good memory. They've got those crazy Dominators. They got that new LED technology that we talked about in our CES episode.
Yeah.
They look super sexy.
Yeah, and I love the Dominators. We have Dominators in the podcast machine.
We do. I do. But I'm not running them. I'm still running G-Skill.
I know.
Come on, G-Skill. You can do it.
All right, so let's pull up some... here we go.
Holy crap. Does that say 869?
I didn't even get to introduce what this is yet.
Let me rewind then. Okay, well, what are we looking at here?
Darren's spoiling it again. Darn Endgame. So we have the Dominator Platinum RGB 16 gigabit 2x8 gig sticks DDR4 4800 megahertz CL18. So already...
Okay.
Lower latency... Higher speed.
That's always good.
Over the HyperX ones we were just talking about.
It's got those sexy new RGB LEDs.
And you can say the price again.
$869.99. Yes. That means that, according to Dennis, our processor costs nearly $300 less than this.
Yes.
I don't know that I remember the last time that high-end memory cost more than a high-end processor. Maybe never.
Maybe never. However, these also have the RGBs on them.
Yeah, and they are pretty.
So what if we go down to, say, the Vengeance series?
Are you trying to say Vengeance is a little bit lower? What do we got here?
All right, so with the Vengeance series, you cannot get the 4800s, but you can get 4600, which matches the HyperX.
Okay, but we gave up the sexy LED lights.
Yep. We get the low profile, so it'll fit within any sort of a machine.
Vengeance.
And it's at CL19 at 4600. And I'll let you say the price again.
$589.99. And it doesn't even say end game.
I know.
$589.99. That's $600 almost for memory. I mean,
basically the same price as.
Clearly, you're going to get your free shipping, right? Because
I would hope.
$589. Wow. $4,600, though.
Yeah. And it's got, we should read some of the Corsair marketing on this.
All right, bring it.
So the Vengeance LPX memory is designed for high performance overclocking. The heat spreader is made from pure aluminum for faster heat dissipation, kind of. And an 8-layer PCB helps manage the heat and provides superior overclocking headroom.
So what does LPX stand for?
Long performance extreme, maybe?
Large price excluded.
Oh,
I don't.
Oh, I like that one.
I feel like we should know. I don't know.
It's just a brand name.
Lots of P's and X's. I don't know. They're not bad looking, but I feel like if I'm going to spend $589, I should at least get the cool LEDs.
Yeah. You want to know a funny anecdote here?
Sure.
Every memory module that you can buy is an 8-layer PCB.
So why are they advertising it? I don't know, to make you feel better about $589. I already know the answer.
Yeah, there you go.
It's not even like gold-plated or Japanese capacitors or something.
Hey, I think I got something for you, though.
What you got?
I got gold-plated.
Whoa, those are sexy.
So at the G-Scale, we have the F4s, which is the Trident Z's 4800 CL18.
Oh, G-Scale.
And this is the new Royale.
Oh, it even has a cool name. Oh, and I can get it in gold plate.
You get it in gold plate.
Gold or silver.
And I think they even have a special edition that comes with a microfiber so you can polish your memory modules.
Oh, because I'm all about polishing my memory modules.
Yeah. How much would you spend for one of these?
I don't know, but they look great. That, even the faceting of the... yeah, that is probably the best looking memory we've seen. I'm sorry, Corsair, but yeah. Luxurious aluminum heatsink, says the ad. Oh, look at the packaging. Holy crap. All right, now I'm seeing the price continue to go up. Software lighting control.
You might be surprised, really.
Trade your firstborn for a set of memory. All right, give me a price on this. The all F4s. Right.
So we're going to Google, and we're going to type this in.
Same thing, right? So we're talking 16 gigs, 2x8.
Yep.
Silver.
$499.
Oh, what a bargain, and it hurts me to say that. And that's the 4800?
That's the 4800.
In comparison. See, I knew I liked G-Scale, but still, $500.
And half the price of what you can get from Corsair with the same basic features. It's got RGB lights.
I like RGB lights. And I have to say, I think that they're better looking memory. Again, sorry, Corsair and HyperX.
But this brings up an interesting point. Is we have some crazy, crazy fast memory. And in the article, well, in my news posting of the article, I quoted how you needed to have a special processor.
Okay.
You needed to have a special motherboard.
And you need to know this before you buy the memory, because if not, you're screwed.
Basically. Okay. What will happen, though, is that you buy this crazy fast memory, you go to plug it in, and, you know, the crazy Reddit guys that don't know any better will say, hey, this doesn't work. And then they'll send it back as being defective, when really it probably is the most tested piece of kit that came out of that manufacturer.
Hey, look at the bright side. There'll be white box memory for cheap.
Well, you would hope.
Maybe. Go Reddit. Please get me cheap memory.
But on top of that, the performance gains are a bit negligible because you are extending the where the processor sweet spot is.
Oh, now that's a great point. If I'm going to spend all this crazy money, I mean, what am I getting for performance between 4800 and 3300 or 3600 or
I think it's
your normal overclocking memory?
It's something like 56 megabits a second or something like that, which is about twice the memory bandwidth of standard 2133 modules. However, there is a limit to the point where software can use that amount of bandwidth to the point where the processor can't keep up.
Dennis, we're enthusiasts, though. I mean, really, what are we talking about? Like 5 frames, 10 frames, 0 frames?
It depends on the game. In my motherboard test, for instance, I overclock the memory, I overclock the CPU, and in some cases, I can get an extra 100 frames a second in DirectX 9 and 10 games. Mm-hmm. Well, that's quite a bit. However,
sure sounds good.
I'm already getting 300 stock.
So what you're saying is that you may not even notice the extra performance.
Exactly.
Wow. So if you wanted to buy crazy 869 for memory?
Yeah, the Corsair stuff.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it's like we'll just call it $900.
$900, that's fair.
$900 for memory, $600 for a processor, $300 for a motherboard. All of a sudden the processor looks like a cheap component, right?
Yeah, which is crazy.
And on top of that, you just have the bragging rights saying, I got 4,800 megahertz memory. You might be able to get a few benchmarks that will use that. You know, some certain 3D benchmarks and a couple of 2D benchmarks from the hardware bots love memory bandwidth. DirectX 11 loves memory bandwidth, but on the video card, not necessarily on the CPU.
Right.
What do you get from that? Probably just bragging rights.
And it's only a 16 gig kit.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing. If you go up to a 32 gig kit, the memory module density increases. And as the density increases, so does the noise on the module itself. So you can't run that fast.
Oh, wow.
If they released an 8 gig kit, they could probably go up to 5200 megahertz, but nobody's going to buy it.
Oh, 5200 megahertz. Wow.
Yeah. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. You know, if you can take a 4133 module, right? This is the standard one you could buy that comes 1.35 volts or something like that. You could run it 4600 by just matching the timings and the voltage, assuming that your processor will run that fast.
Which, of course, assumes that you don't have to buy a fancy custom bin processor and a fancy custom bin motherboard. So I'm starting to feel like maybe I don't really want to spend that kind of money on memory. Instead, I should look at maybe a standard, 3,064 kit, which means I don't have to give up my firstborn.
If I was to make a recommendation, I would say spend your money on a good processor, 3,600 megahertz memory, and then maybe a mild overclock and a good video card.
I think that's a great recommend. I'll take that to the bank.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2019. Thanks for listening.